Unsolved Mysteries. In the best it is, but this most foul, strange, and unnatural. Had William Shakespeare penned these lines about the murder in the Rue Morgue, his description could not have been more fitting. The murder in the Rue Morgue was not only strange, it was incredible, it was impossible, and yet it was. Lights, the boulevards, the cafes, and the theaters, but that Paris of dark, narrow, crooked streets. That Paris in which murder is no stranger. That Paris where the wrong glance, the carelessly spoken word is answered by the knife thrust, and the offender is found cold and stark, staring with glassy eyes at a waning moon. 2 o'clock in the morning. Mademoiselle Rose Delacour turns into La Rue Morgue. The guttering street lamp shows her lithe figure, prettier face, a demoiselle of the boulevards. She stops at her apartment number 16 and rings the bell.
Nicola, who is it? Rose. You are very late, Rose.
I'm very tired. Oh, mais Paris is not what it was.
No young gentleman to buy you dinner, eh?
You have guessed it the first time. London, no, but I am hungry.
Oh, come with me into my room. The coffee, he is hot. The bread is stale, perhaps, but not too stale. Rose, qu'est-ce que c'est? Why do you not go to the country away from all this?
Me to the country? I cannot live without my Paris. The laughter, the song, the theaters, the cafes, the boulevards. Oh, no, 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 c'est impossible. No one call upon me today.
Not one single person, ma chérie, not one.
Come, come, petite. Drink the coffee and then to sleep. Tomorrow may be brighter.
Oh, you have been very good to me.
I will do as you say. I will go to bed, but not to sleep. No, 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 not to sleep.
Slowly, Rose Delacour makes her way up the creaky, rickety stairs. 5 flights of them, with the rotted, worm-eaten banister giving under her touch as she pulls herself wearily onward. Her own room at last. The heavy door groans as she opens it, closes it. The rasping of the lock as she turns the key. The dull click of the bolts, top and bottom of the door as she forces them home. The one window with its leaded panes of glass slams as she closes it and turns the catch that locks it in place. Dreary silence, broken only by the hammer-like ticks of the old clock as Rose undresses and gets into bed. A puff and the candle is out. Its dying flare showing a wisp of smoke curling ceilingwards.
Rose, Rose, get up, my chérie. It is 10 o'clock. I have the coffee and the rolls.
Rose. Rose.
What is it, Madame Dauphin?
There is something wrong, I know it. Rose, Rose, she does not answer me.
Or perhaps it is that she is tired and sleeps.
No, no, it is not that, mon Dieu, but I am afraid. Call these police quickly. Call them, call
police,
them.
Police! Police! Calm down!
Rose, Rose, answer me. Speak to me. It is Suzanne Dauphin. Oh, what is the use? She is dead. I know it. Oh.
What is the trouble, madame?
Oh, well, listen. Oh, Rose, Rose, she does not answer me.
Here, let me knock on the door. No answer. That we break down the door, mon lieutenant?
You cannot break down that door without an axe.
Oh, Pierre!
Yes,
oh.
Mon lieutenant.
Bring an axe in case it is that we cannot break down the door.
At once, mon lieutenant. At once, everybody.
Now, Jacques, we will together throw our weight against the door.
You ready?
As I said, without the axe, you can do nothing.
Here, mon lieutenant. This is the biggest axe in the cellar.
Give it here. Stand back.
There is a bolt at the top. And another door at the bottom.
A little more down, Jacques. Attendez. I shall reach the bolt.
Sacré. Damn through the arm.
Did not leave the knife, fighter.
This was no knife.
Grâce à Dieu, no. A damn it, a sword or something. Right through and 4 inches into the mattress.
Oh, ma chérie, she's dead, though.
Pierre, take madame out of the room.
Oui, oui, mon lieutenant. Come, madame.
Then for Monsieur l'inspecteur.
But yes, of a certainty.
This is very strange, my lieutenant. The window is locked on the inside.
Impossible.
Impossible, lieutenant, it is. He or she could not have come in and gone out that way. It is 60 feet above the ground. Nothing to hang on to. No way to get in or out, and no mark on the window.
The door, both the top and bottom. Whoever did it could have turned the key in the lock, but the bolts, no. One could not shoot the bolts after leaving the room.
The chimney?
Not that way either, mon lieutenant. It is, if anything, smaller than usual. You see, a tile chimney, not even large enough for a cat. Nothing bigger than a bird could get through that chimney.
But somebody somehow got in here, kill Rose, and get out again. Madame.
Yes, mon lieutenant.
Who came in here last night with Rose?
No one, not one single person.
You are certain?
Oh, but yes, Rose came home at 2:00. She rang the bell. I myself opened the door. She drank some coffee in my room, and then she came upstairs. I watched her go.
No one could get into the house without passing your room?
No, impossible. Pierre looks over the house before 10:00. Then at 10, the door is bolted, and no one can get inside after that without me, Madame Dauphin, seeing them.
Then whoever committed the murder must have got in before that and hidden in the house.
Oh, but he could not get out again. I have the key to the front door.
And anyway, that will not explain how he got into Rose's room. And it does not explain how he gets out again, holding the bolts on the inside. Sacre bleu, but never before did I see anything like this. No cue, nothing. A bolted door, a locked window, 60 feet above the ground. Impossible to happen, but it does happen. Come, Jacques, we will go to the Sûreté and Monsieur Le Cour work on this case.
But neither Monsieur Le Cour nor any of the other brilliant minds of the French police could find any clue upon which to start an investigation. The apartment was searched, almost torn apart in an effort to find a trap door or secret passage. Nothing. Nor the suggestion of anything. Always a bolted door, a locked window. 2 weeks later, Monsieur Le Cour is seated in his office at the Sûreté talking to the lieutenant.
Bonjour, Monsieur Le Cour.
Sit down, mon lieutenant.
Merci, monsieur.
No further development in the Jellicoe case?
Nothing, monsieur. I have combed the underworld of Paris, hoping for a chance worth a single thing that one might call a clue.
Had she any enemies?
No, monsieur, not that I can find. No money. Nothing to be robbed of. Un pauvre demoiselle de boulevard. Not worthy of such hatred or such careful planning.
You had someone watching at the morgue when Rose Delacour was laid there?
Oui, monsieur. Nothing but the usual morbid crowd. No known underworld character. And besides that, everyone that I have picked up at it questioned the as an alibi for that night.
You have no suspicion of Madame Dauphin?
No, monsieur. Besides, no woman struck that blow.
Yeah, granted. But she could have admitted the murder and let him out again.
That still does not account for the door bolted on the inside.
Mais oui, of course, mon lieutenant. Always we come to the door bolted on the inside.
Always, monsieur. Till my dying day, I shall find myself face to face with that stout oak door, bolted top and bottom, that leaded glass window locked on the inside, and Rose Delacour lying there staring unseen at the ceiling.
And today, almost half a century later, when the Paris police discuss the murder in the Rue Morgue, they come face to face with the same problem. The locked window, the door bolted top and bottom on the inside. Out of deference to people who are still alive, character names in these unsolved mysteries have been changed. Inasmuch as any solution must of necessity be supposition, liberties of time, place, and character exist in the solution that will be presented after you have heard from your sponsor.
ladies and gentlemen, the solution for which you have been waiting.
Tell me, Monsieur Lecoeur, have you no idea after all these years as to how the murder of Rose Delacour was perpetrated?
Oui, but yes, I think I have a possible solution.
Indeed?
You must understand, monsieur, that at the time of the murders in the Rue Morgue, the chimney sweep was a familiar figure on the rooftops and among the chimney pots of Paris.
Chimney sweep, monsieur?
Oui. The chimney sweep cleaned the chimneys of Paris by lowering a round brush on a piece of rope or a pole made of many pieces of wood fitted together.
I understand.
You understand, monsieur, that I have no idea who the murderer might be, but I think I know how he committed the crime. These murderers realized that a chimney sweep would hardly be noticed on the roof of Rose Delacour's apartment. I can see him donning his disguise, an old soot-grime suit, carrying his bag of paraphernalia, but hidden in that bag was a French bayonet. I can hear him as he creeps over the tiles, muttering to himself.
It is easy, the way I have planned it. It cannot fail. I lower these two hooks on the two lengths of string. Now I lower the bayonet. Then I will go to Rose Delacour's room. I will hide under the bed. And when she is fast asleep, I kill her. In a few moments, I fix the hook to the door and the strings to the bolts. It is so simple. When I return to the roof, I pull the two strings, and voila, the bolts, they are closed. I pull the string and the hooks up the chimney, and yes, I must not forget, I must not forget. The third string, I pull him too, because on that, I have the bayonet. How they will puzzle over the mystery, these French police.
And puzzle they did, these French police, and with them the rest of the world. Edgar Allan Poe wrote his solution. But Poe was writing fiction, and so in order to give legitimate literary punch to his denouement, he ignored the fact that the chimney was too small for even the tiniest monkey, let alone an ape, to get through.